Hello, and welcome to another episode, I think it's episode 17, of Hey, We're Talking Here. We've got quite a few movies, some new, some old, a couple of TV shows, mainly Netflix ones. Mm-hmm. I can talk about Resident Evil 2, the remake, for initial thoughts. I haven't had time to play it too much. So we've got a couple of things to talk about, so hope you enjoy. So we're going to start off by what to watch film section. I went to see the new film, I think it's Oscar nominated.
I think it is.
Or
I know it was like
some sort of nominated film. Stan and Ollie, the story of Laurel and Hardy. I went to see it with my mum and dad actually, and one of their friends.
Oh, family night out.
Yeah. It was actually really, really good because essentially it's a little bit sad, but it's kind of sweet. It's a biopic telling of Laurel and Hardy, but kind of the end of their reign as top double end.
Yeah.
It is quite sad. And like, I think it's Hardy, the kind of fat one.
Rude.
I'm sorry, I can't remember.
Is that John C. Reilly?
John C. Reilly, who plays him really, really well. Yeah. So just,
you know what? He's a really good, like, dramatic actor.
Like, he's actually decent.
Like, he's in some crappy, like, Will Ferrell comedies, but, like, he's actually a really good actor. And I remember when I saw him in, like, Chicago or something, I was like, what the fuck? I didn't know he did stuff like this.
Yeah, he's very good in it.
Oh, and
Steve Coogan's really good.
Yeah.
So it kind of, John C. Reilly kind of plays, they both play, you know, Lauren Hardy. They're downfall and, you know, Hardy becomes a bit, I think it's Hardy, becomes a bit sick. And it's quite sad at the end. And you kind of see him struggling on stage. And then they have to stop and they have to retire.
Oh.
And it's really sweet. And I was tearing up a little bit.
Oh, no. I don't even know. I don't really know anything about them. And I don't think I've watched a lot of their comedy. Like, I've only seen, like,
before
clips.
Our time.
Yeah, because I think it was, like, 60s, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, so,
they're like, an American, one of the original American comedy double acts.
Yeah, so it was, like, I remember watching a couple of clips of them in class once for comedy. But I don't really know a lot about them.
But they do a really good job of portraying the characters. Like, you forget that they're acting.
Yeah.
And they have such good chemistry, John C. Reilly and Steve Coogan. Mm. Like, it's no wonder that it is up for an award. They have the wives in there, so you can kind of see the relationship, not just between those two as a duo, but between, their wives.
Mm.
And their wives are, like, they're so funny.
Oh, nice.
You've got, I can't remember her name, but, like, Moaning Myrtle.
Oh, yeah,
plays one of the wives.
Oh, I haven't seen her ages.
Yeah. And then there's a Russian wife who's like the funniest fucking woman in it. I want a Russian wife spin-off. She's so great.
But, nice.
And then in the end, like they kind of war a little bit.
Usually stuff like that, they're kind of in the background, but
it's
cool that,
it's quite like it shows how they support each other and how they support the,
that's really sweet. I like
the
that.
The duo, it's nice.
That's kind of like sold me on it now.
Exactly, see? And like they kind of war a little bit, but then by the end they're like, oh, we love each other.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And it's so sweet. And I mean, they act really well. It looks really nice. The cinematography is great. The editing's great. The way they kind of reenact some of the Laurel and Hardy like original sketches, it's spot on. Because in the credits, they show some of the actual original, which was in the film.
Yeah.
And they just do a really, really fucking good job of it. So I would definitely recommend it.
Cool. I guess I could talk a bit about Beautiful Boy, which is I think this is Oscar nominated. Possibly, but I think everyone was mad because Timothée Chalamet didn't get nominated for Best Actor.
Bastard.
Or Best Supporting Actor. I don't know what he'd be, because it's kind of like him and Steve Carell, like the two main characters. So Steve is based on a true story about this. So Steve Carell plays this character of this this writer. He, I think in real life he wrote a book, and his son also wrote the book about his addiction. So the son, I think his name's Nick. So he's, Timothée Chalamet plays Nick, and he sort of tells the story of how he becomes addicted and, like, the effect it has on Steve Carell as his dad. And it's, like, I quite like that. I don't know how we feel about this film, because it's, like, got some really good parts about it. Like, I think, like, Timothy's really good in it, but there's something, like, kind of, I don't know. I guess with, like, stuff that's based on real life, it's not like a, like, it's not paced like a movie, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of, life is all over the place, so I kind of like that it does show, like, the effect it has on the family and stuff like that, because usually, you know, it would show more about the guy, the person that's going through it, but yeah. It does also show that as well. And it shows like, so the dad is like reminiscing about like when he was younger and sort of thinking about how the kid got into it. And it's just, he's like, what could he, he's got a really supportive family and it just makes it sadder, but there's something about it that's just kind of like, I can't quite put my finger on it.
Does it? Because when I was watching the trailer and I saw a couple of thoughts of it, it kind of, people were kind of viewing it as an Oscar film.
Yeah.
Like it was made to be an Oscar film.
Mm. Yeah, I think
like
so.
Like it was trying to be an Oscar
yeah.
film.
Yeah, and like, don't get me wrong, it did have me tearing up at some points, but there was just, I don't know. I can't quite explain how I feel about it. It's really weird. And it's like, do I like it? Do I not like it? I don't know. Would I recommend? I don't think I'd watch it again. Which is, but like,
no, that's fair.
I'm kind of glad I did watch it, if you know what I mean. Like, I wanted to see what, because I hadn't really heard a lot about it, and I just wanted to see what I thought of it, and I still frankly don't know, but yeah, I just, of course, Steve Carell's really great actor, and I love him, this sort of thing. Like John C. Reilly, also a great dramatic actor, known for their comedy, but
I think some comedy actors are really, really fucking good. Like, brilliant. Paul Whitehouse is fucking
broke. Yeah, and the guy from Cell Block 99.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I can't remember.
Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, I could like a completely.
We need more comedy actors.
So
he
was brilliant in that movie, and I did not expect it. Yeah, so like, I love him in stuff like this. I loved him in *Little Miss Sunshine*. You know that sort
of
thing.
Yeah, that's great.
You know what else I love? I love the one, *The Way Way Back*.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I love that movie so much. I don't know why. Every so often, I just have to watch it. And Steve Carell is the biggest arsehole in it, and he's great. But yeah, I don't know. What's really funny about this film, though, is that like Steve Carell is in it, and also the woman who plays his wife in The Office is in it. So it's almost like a sequel, like a really
alternate
depressing
reality.
Alternate reality of like The Office and like, yeah. But you know, the kid from It is in this, the guy who plays Eddie. I was quite happy about that. And also the dad, the older version of the dad from Haunting of Hill House is briefly in it. But yeah, I just, like, the acting was good and everything, and there were moments where it was, like, really, really sad, but I don't know, it's just, some points I just felt kind of disconnected from it. I don't really know how to explain it, but, it's done well. I can't quite explain how I feel about it. It's really difficult. That's really useless, I know, but, like, I just needed to, like, say, like...
See for yourself.
Well, yeah, you have to kind of, I don't know, like, how does everyone else feel about this? I don't know. I haven't really looked at anything.
And I haven't really heard
I feel like if I, it. Maybe if I go look at a few reviews, maybe I can pinpoint, like, what I, that's really shit, because I do reviews myself, and it's like, am I completely useless now? Like, I can't even...
What's my purpose?
I don't know what it is. It's just really hard to pinpoint, but yeah, anyway, I guess we could move on to some... Oh, we've got Super Bob is another recent one.
Super Bob. So, we saw the trailer when we went to see Anna and the Apocalypse again.
Yeah, we went to this like really indie cinema and it had that showing. And
it looks really, really good.
And I think this was actually made a while ago. I think it was made in like 2015.
Probably.
But then I guess it took a while to release it because it is like really like an independent film, I guess.
Yeah.
So do you want to explain what it's about?
So it's like... It's almost like a mockumentary. They're following around this guy, Bob... who is now a superhero after a meteor hit. And it's
set in Peckham.
Yeah, it's set in Peckham. But it's the documentary purpose is to make him look like a normal guy.
Yeah.
Essentially.
It's like a PR thing, right?
Yeah.
And Catherine Tate's in it. She's like the,
It started out because the trailer looked really, really good.
Yeah.
And the first kind of like 10 minutes, I was a bit like, oh, maybe this isn't going to be that great. Mm. But then, like, by the end, you're just like, fucking hell, I love this film.
I love Bob.
It's so
Bob
sweet.
Bob is so adorable. And, like, I love him. Like, I want to protect him, but he doesn't need to because he's a Superman-style character. But
how the characters, particularly Bob, grow by the end of the film,
yeah,
how they change.
It has such sweet moments in it. He's basically, like, it's basically filmed on his day off, and he's basically sort of, like... brought in to do this thing because the relations with America is like not great and they don't
America.
Stupid America.
He's crazy.
This guy, this senator or whatever, is like, no, Super Bob's all bad and shit because we can't have him and we want to use him for a weapon because that's what America does, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what Americans do in all the movies, like Mr. Heroes. Basically, we're gonna use him to, you know, kill people and stuff like that. But yeah, so basically, they're trying to trash Super Bob because he didn't like go over to.
They didn't shake
America.
His hand.
Yeah, and so.
He didn't shake that hand.
But they're. And, like, Catherine Tate's character is, like, trying to make him, like, you know, try to fix it. but it's in such a way that it's sort of like trying to control his life.
Yeah,
he just on his day off.
Like everyone's kind of trying to manipulate him.
Yeah, and he's like such a sweet guy, and like he just wants to go on a date, and like it's really cute, and I love it, and just the end. I don't know, just the last
and love like, was right in front of his face all along.
Yeah, and the ending really was like great. Really funny, and I just love him. Like he's just on point.
It's a very good independent British.
Yeah, it's really done well because like they don't show like a lot of him doing his superhero thing, but when they do, it's like used quite well. Like
yeah.
It's not crappy effects. It's like actually like they use it.
They use it sparingly.
Yeah, so they use it sparingly, so it's not to the point where it's like loads of it and it's all rubbish. You know, yeah. It's like really good like little bits of like. Like him flying through a ceiling or something. You know what I mean? But yeah, really enjoy that and I'd really recommend it.
Yeah,
it's a very British film and I love it. So yeah, should we talk about... So we watched a few older films or like ones that have already been released or whatever. We watched The Predator. I mean Young Sheldon.
Goddamn Young Sheldon. Autistic people in the future, you say.
Yeah, it's so...
Except they're not. Only this one special autistic person is the future.
Yeah, it's so weird.
It's odd film.
It feels like two different films sometimes. Like, it's really tonally, like, weird. Like,
It's just how it could have been quite good.
Yeah.
But it was just like it wasn't trying to be good.
I mean, it really is asking the question, did a human fuck an alien?
Essentially. And at the beginning.
You know, I respect that, but it doesn't... You know, it's not great.
No.
And I just, like, I don't like... Is it Olivia Munn who's in it? She's, like, really... I don't like her. I'm not
sure if it's Olivia Munn.
It's Olivia something, I'm sure. But she's the one who's... She's been in, like, X-Men and stuff. But she was right in X-Men.
The scientist lady.
Yeah, the scientist lady.
A really fucking... Yeah, it is Olivia Munn. My bad.
Yeah.
She's horrid in this film. She is a horrid, horrid lady, and she should have died.
Yeah, she's, like, really terrible. She's, like, really terrible at, like... They always give her a gun or something, and it's like... But she shot herself in the foot earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, literally shot herself.
And tried to shoot the fucking people who saved her.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what the fuck is this woman's problem?
Like, we're watching it, and there's a point where... So, the beginning is a soldier. I think it's the guy from Logan. He's, like, the bad guy in Logan.
Yeah.
And I was trying to figure out who it was, and then I realised the other day. And he's, like... He's found, like, the Predator suit or whatever, you know, the stuff they wear. And he sends it back to his son, because why wouldn't you, of course?
Well, he sends it back to his house, but his son opens it for some fucking... For plot devices.
Yeah. And so he gets, like, arrested or something for some reason. Yeah. But you don't actually... Like, one second he's, really like,
explained.
Not...
explained.
It's just literally, like, happens.
Yeah.
You don't even see it happen. Like, you... Like, literally 1 minute he's, like... doing whatever, and then like literally in the next scene he's like arrested, but you don't even see it happen. It's
That's
really
quite a lot of the film.
It's weird. It's just weird editing choices.
Yeah,
I don't know. And you know, it has like the guy from Key and Peele. Which one is it? It's Key, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it has Key in it. He's quite funny. I mean,
he's funny, but there's no point in this. Yeah.
Half these characters don't have a like use.
They had Theon Greyjoy during it. He said like one sentence.
He doesn't do it. He doesn't do.
You
shit.
Don't even see his face particularly.
Yeah.
It's
no.
Fucking useless.
Yeah. And then, yeah. It's just so weird. The script is weird. I don't know.
Like, the effects of the alien were nice. Like, they were good-ish.
Daddy Predator was good.
Daddy Predator.
How can we
best?
Not talk about that? I mean...
The daddy memes that came out of it were the best part of this film.
Yeah.
Let's say that.
And that was it. It was the only good part.
And it was just...
We just had a good laugh watching this film. Because it was just shit. I don't know.
The dialogue was god-awful.
It really, really was.
It doesn't make any sense.
And I just love the bit where Olivia Munn is, like, naked and this, like, predator just...
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Like, what the fuck?
It just leaves her alone. It's like, okay.
Like, why doesn't everyone just get naked, though?
Yeah. Is that, like... Is it just scared of naked people? It's like, and you guys look weird, man.
It's so stupid. And, like, spoiler alert, if the first alien, like, the non-daddy alien, was there to give them, you know, there to save them, why did he kill so many people?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's fucking dumb.
That's the sort of thing. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make any fucking sense. And I actually haven't seen the original Predator, like, don't shoot me, but I haven't seen it yet. But even, like, I feel like even if I had, it's like, this movie is terrible. It doesn't matter, like, what you think of the first one. It's like, this one's just what? It's just awful.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure it doesn't even come close to the original. Like, it's just bad. It's so bad.
It is terrible.
Yeah. And then it turns out the kid is, like, the next step in the evolution. Oh. What? I mean...
It's so stupid. And then, like, he's working... But surely there are a million autistic people like him.
Yeah.
Why isn't the world just all scientists, autistic children in this film?
It's so weird.
Because by the end he's working in, like, the government facility.
And he's, like, 10 or something. It's like, go play some video games, yeah, man. Have some fun, please.
Like, what's happening? It's like, I kind of get what they wanted to do with that. Yeah. And it's kind of nice, but I misguided and kind of stupid. And they had the weird... Oh, what was it? Tourette's guy.
Yeah, he was a like
his Tourette's were only used for
like comic effect. Like literally just to be funny.
And it was like, oh, that's not good. It's like you can't be doing that now. Not in these days.
Yeah, it was just so weird. So should we talk about You Might Be the Killer?
You Might Be the Killer. Now that was a better comedy film.
That was a very I really enjoyed that.
Not that The Predator was a comedy film, but it was unintentionally
one. But like, yeah. when it was trying to be funny, it wasn't funny. Yeah. But yeah, You Might Be the Killer is really good. I think it came out last year. We found it on Amazon. It's got what's his name? I don't know, it's the guy from fucking, you know, Cabin in the Woods. He's the weed guy in it, he's like the higher one. And then he's also in like Dollhouse, which is a really good show. I was persuaded to watch this because I like him. And also I love slasher movies. And also Allison, what's her face from...
Fran Kranz?
There we go. I couldn't remember his name. I'm blanking on people's names today.
His picture looks completely different to what he looked like in the film. I was like, is it the same guy?
Yeah, there it is.
That guy and Allison Hannigan.
Yeah, there we go. Willow from Buffy. They're both in it. So basically, Fran is like... He's like, it starts out with him running away from like this killer. Like he's like a camp counselor, and all these counselors are like dead, and he's like running away, and then he like can't get hold of like the police, so he phones this friend Chuck, who is played by Allison. She's like a comic book store owner, and she's like
super nerd.
Yeah, because this is like a postmodern horror, you know, like yeah. It's very self aware and. But it's not like in a bad way. It's like a good one, I think.
Yeah, it uses it well.
Yeah, sometimes it can be like a bit like, but this one I thought was really good. And yeah, she's like, and they're like, he can't remember stuff. He's trying to recall what happened, and she's like, well, you know, it might be you. So I would describe this movie as a cross between The Mask and Friday the 13th, which is not a sentence I ever thought I'd say, but it kind of is, right? So. Yeah, I don't want to say, like, spoil anything for anyone, but, like, it actually has some, like, really sad moments in this where it's like, oh, I feel really bad for... Like, you really sympathise with the character because he doesn't like to entertain the idea.
He doesn't want to do whatever he's doing.
No, and he's, like, he doesn't want to think about the fact that it could be him, and he's, like, yeah, it's really stressing him out, but it also has... The way it's presented is really cool. Like, it has, like title cards and stuff like that, and it's, like, flashbacks and... Also, Steve the Kayak King.
Oh, the Kayak King.
Oh,
the Kayak King.
Kill the Kayak King. No, not the Kayak King.
That
Steve
was good.
Steve's iconic. I'm just going to say it. I love him. And yeah, I just really... It's like an hour and a half and it's just so much fun. And
yeah,
this is one of those things where it's like, you know, the slasher movie isn't dead, I don't think. I think there's still some life in it. There's still some fun stuff you can do. It was really interesting. I don't know. I just thought it was a fun idea and... I hope there's going to be a sequel. It's open for one.
Yeah,
but I don't think there probably won't be. But I'd like it if there was.
It has a nice.
I can dream.
Twist at the end.
Yeah,
which is sweet.
Yeah, so I would definitely recommend this one, especially if you love slasher movies.
If you like slasher films, if you like horror films, if you like Evil Dead kind of comedy horror, you will like this film.
Yeah, it's very entertaining. And then I also you wouldn't know this one or anything, but it's called. Pontypool is a film I watched yesterday. It's sort of... The way I came across this is because I was listening to the new episode of the Evolution Horror podcast where this time they're doing zombie movies. And in the introduction, they mentioned this one, which is, like, sort of a zombie movie. But it's, like... I think it's from, like, 2008. It's really interesting. Like, it's set... Like, I think it's in Canada. And it's this radio host. It's, like, pretty much entirely set in, like, this radio... station, and this guy is like with like his producer and like one of the other people working, and they get calls in like saying, oh, there's like this thing happening, and but they can't get any real information on it. It's like, oh, like people are, like, attacking each other, or like there's an infection spreading, and then eventually it, I don't want to spoil it too much, but like there's like a sort of infection. You don't really see any like zombies, you just sort of see. It's weird. It's like a twist on the zombie. It's really,
okay.
But the way I really enjoyed it. It was really, like, a smart film, but at the same time, like, is it right for going to spoilers a bit? Are you going to watch this movie?
It sounds good.
So, like, the way the infection spreads is, like, through words. So it's not, like, a physical, like, thing. It's, like, it's not like they bite you, but, like, you say a word and it's, like, an infected word. And it's, like, they repeat the word and it just, the way to, like, I don't know, it's just weird. It's like, and they keep repeating the word, and then they sort of, if they don't have a victim, they like, sort of die off, but, like, they try to find a victim to, like, take their voice or whatever. They sort of, like, repeat what you're saying, and it's really weird. I don't know. And then they have to try and not talk, because if they talk, then they could, like, get infected. But it's just a really, like, I find that, because it's, like, an interesting film, but also, like, it's so strange, like, that concept. Like, it's an interesting concept, but normal zombie movies, I'd say, like, with the infection, like, being bitten, that's grounded in some sort of, like, possibility. Yeah. Like, in how infections spread.
Was it, like, an actual infection, or was it, like, a brainwashing infection?
No, it was, like, I don't know, it's not really explained, it's just, like, a thing that happens.
Okay.
And I don't know, I think that's supposed to be sequels. I think it was originally a book. And it was also turned into a radio play as well, but it's, like, a shorter as a radio play. I think the original film was literally supposed to be, like, radio waves, like, you know, like, the sound things, waves, sound waves, like, on screen, which was an interesting concept, but yeah, so it's just, like, it feels so out of the, like, realm of possibility, because it's, like, words are infected, it's, like, it's almost hard to, like...
Is it, like, a Shyamalan twist, where it's a bit, like,
It's, like, I don't know, it's, like, it's not, like, I don't know. It's hard to explain, because it's, like, a good movie, but also that bit kind of
ruins it a little bit.
Alienated me a bit from it. I don't know how to how to sort of describe it, but it was a good movie other than that. I would recommend it to, like, watch and just see what you think of it. Yes, that was interesting.
Now we're going to talk about what to watch TV section.
We haven't got a whole lot this week, but we've got, like, two of them. So should we start with The Good Place?
Yeah, we've got the final series of Good Place.
Yeah, man, the last episode made me cry like a little bitch.
I really didn't cry. It was really sad, but I didn't cry.
I was tearing up. I was like,
they're so great together.
I love them.
You bastards.
Why are you hurting me like this? And you know what's really surprising is, like, every series, I'm like, surely they can't do another series. Like, surely this is over, right? And, but they still manage to surprise you and, like, make it great. Like, they always
yeah, like, the start of, it was the start of this season. Are we on the third season?
Yeah,
the start of this season was a bit like, not too sure. But then by the end, you're like, fucking hell, I need another season now.
Yeah, because I think by, like, the second series, you're like, surely they can't do any more with this. Yeah. But then they do, and it's like,
they're genius. So
I think it's one of the best TV shows right now. It's just so pure and wholesome, and I love it.
It is.
It's on that level with Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I think it is the same creator.
I think it is,
and it's just, I love it. Just the sort of, the, like, character arcs and everything are great, and to have a TV show that's, like, sort of, like, teaching you philosophy without actually, like, making you bored, or, like,
because
I remember when I used to do philosophy and ethics, and, like, in, like, A level, and there was literally, like, four other people in the class, so, like, clearly not a lot of people like it, but it's nice to kind of make it in a way that's, like, engaging, like, to bring it to, sort of pop culture.
To the mainstream.
Yeah,
And kind
it's
of
really cool.
How the message of humans can be better.
Yeah.
We can be better.
Yeah.
And that's nice.
Yeah, it's really cool. And of course, I relate to Chidi a lot, because he's, like, really anxious about everything. It's, like, same. Yeah, so really, really love the series.
Very
same with
good
Thorn.
First season. Yeah. Can't wait for the next one.
Yep. And then we've also got Kimmy Schmidt. So I haven't watched this yet. It's the final six episodes.
Final six episodes.
Yeah, so Will's watched it, though, so he can tell us what he thinks without spoiling it.
I won't spoil anything.
I've heard the last episode is really sad or something, or, like, everyone loved it. And
it's not sad.
Or it's, like, really, like, emotional.
I will admit, I was crying a little bit. I was tearing up because I was so proud of Titus, and I was so happy for him.
Oh, yes. Yes, I love Titus. He's the best.
Because Titus is, like, by kind of... By the end of the season, you kind of have had enough of Kimmy a little bit. I don't, at least me personally, never really cared that much for Jacqueline. And I like Lillian, but she never really does that much.
Yeah.
So it's always been Titus for me. I've always loved Titus. So, like, the last episode,
ever
it's really
since,
like, yay.
Ever since the whole Pinot Noir thing, I knew
the
I
Pinot
was in love.
Pinot Noir. It's so great. But I think they redeemed themselves a little bit in my eyes. Because obviously since the first, you know, the first season, it's always been a comedy show that deals with, you know, semi-serious issues. But it's never really had the semi-serious issues at the forefront of what it is. Mm. Like, it's always been delved in by wacky characters and wacky situations.
Yeah.
And I think what I didn't like about the start of this season was it...
It completely changed that, didn't it?
Yeah, it became too political.
A bit more preachy, I guess. And I think very preachy. Yeah.
But it's...
Which would be final... fine, but it was just, like, because it was so out of place with the rest of the show that it just felt a bit weird.
Don't change it, man.
Yeah.
Don't fix what isn't broken.
Mm.
But, it definitely redeems itself in the last six episodes. It still has a couple of messages, but it doesn't ram it down your throat, and it deals with them well. Mm. The characters grow a bit. It does feel a little bit rushed by the last, like, two episodes. Mm. It feels like they wanted to do another season, but, but nonetheless... it is a good final six episodes, and the last episode is so it's really nice, and it's really like, yay, I'm so happy for everyone. It has a nice happy ending.
Okay,
let's say
good,
that.
Good.
But yeah, if you like Kimmy Schmidt, if you weren't too sure on the beginning of this series, or if you were and you want to watch it, yeah, I definitely recommend it. It ends very well. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about Resident Evil 2 Remake. I'm only going to give initial thoughts because I've been so busy. It came out on Friday, 2 days ago, and I've been really busy. I've only been able to play it for like 2 hours, so I'm only going to give initial thoughts. And it's worth mentioning that I have never played a Resident Evil game before. Well, I kind of played the original one when it was like digitally re-released on PS4, and I just couldn't get into it. It was like the whole fixed camera.
Oh, yeah.
It was really difficult to move, and I just really didn't like it. But then my friend at work was like, oh, you like horror. Have you heard that Resident Evil 2 is having a remake? And I was like, you know what? I don't play enough horror games for someone who likes horror. I'm going to take
a
look at this.
It's probably for the best, though. Honestly.
We'll get into that in a second. So it's like, okay, I'm going to delve into this. This actually looks really good. Like, they've changed it up. I like the fact that it's not just a beat-for-beat remake. Like, the same things are there, but they've, like, jumbled them around. So even if you're a veteran, you know, Resident Evil gamer who's played the original a million times, it's still going to be new and fresh for you, which I think is a really fucking good... I think that's really great. But... So essentially, it's an exploration, puzzle, survival horror game. You have two stories. You start off as, well, actually no, you can pick who you want to start off, but you have Leon's story, who's like a first day on the job cop. He's now like trapped in the police station with all these infected zombies.
That's exactly what you want on your first day at work. Great.
And then the other one's Claire, who's like a student looking for her brother, who was Chris, who's one of the main characters in the original ones. I haven't played as Claire yet. As I said, I've only played it for like 2 hours as Leon. It took me about maybe an hour to kind of get into it. Not to get into it, but kind of like, okay, now I know what I need to do. I kind of get how this game's going to be now. And it, which is good, because it doesn't take you too long to kind of get into it. If you haven't played a game like this before, the controls are really easy to use, because it's simple. It's nice that you can shoot, you can walk, and you can run. There's not a whole lot of detail that you can do, which I think is good for a horror game, because it's very... like walking down dark corridors and very tense and suspenseful.
See, I don't think I could do horror games because I get so like into like games. Whereas with movies, it's like you're just watching it. But when you're in a game, you're like doing it yourself. I'm like,
exactly.
I would be like,
it scares
I get
the shit out.
I
of
get really like shaky and like on edge.
I have to take a break like every 5 minutes. Like, okay, regroup.
I can't even watch like you know like playthroughs. I can't even do that.
I can watch
because
I
get really like anxious. Yeah.
So this is like my first delve into the horror games, and it's like it's such a good for what I've played. And as I said, I've only played like 2 hours of it. It's so good. Like it's so easy to kind of figure out what you have to do, and well, not easy to figure out what you have to do, but it's easy to get used to what you have to do. And it's like you only have a certain amount of inventory, so it really is like a survival horror game. You only have this amount of bullets that you have to scrounge from exploring around. So it's like, okay, should I shoot this zombie or should I run past it? And it's quite scary to be running past the zombies. And it's like, okay. So if I need to get, I need to go over here to get this. So I can do this, which allows me to do that. But fuck, I know there's a shit ton of zombies down that corridor. I don't want to do it. So it's very good at making you feel on edge. and suspenseful whilst keeping you engaged with the puzzles. Mm-hmm. So I think definitely, and I mean, compared to what the original was, the graphics look good and the voice acting's great. Definitely, if you're a veteran, you know, if you've played Resident Evil all the fucking time, you'll love this game. If you're someone like me who likes horror, hasn't played a horror game or hasn't played a Resident Evil game before, it'll be good for you too, because it doesn't take too long to get into it, and it's to not master, but, you know, kind of get used to it a bit. I just think they've done a really, really good job on it. So I'm looking forward to playing more. So that was our 17th episode. Hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Last week we forgot to do our fuck off moment of the week, so yeah. We're very sorry to let everyone down.
I'm sorry.
But all 17. to let everyone down. But we have one this week.
We do.
Take it away, Will.
So I don't want people to kind of slap us in the face for this, because we're not saying it's a bad film by any.
To be fair, I haven't actually seen it, but.
No.
Okay.
But it's Black Panther being nominated for 7 Oscars.
Wait, 7?
7 Oscars.
7? I thought it was just the one.
I'm pretty sure it's about 7 Oscars.
Oh, yeah, it got, like, best, like, soundtrack or something, right?
Yeah, and, like, makeup and stuff or something like that. But, which is fine, sure, whatever. I mean, weird, but whatever. But Best Picture is a slap in the face.
Fuck off. I mean,
like, the Oscars don't mean much anyway.
Yeah.
But it's just so...
The nominations...
It's not even pandering. It's like a condescending slap in the face.
It's like... Actually, I think the nominations in general were quite disappointing this year, and they're all, like, the same 5 movies.
Mm.
To be fair, I haven't seen a lot of them. Like, I think... I want to see The Favourite. Like, I think that's nominated for a lot.
I want to see Black KK Klansman.
Yeah, I think that looks quite good, actually, so I'm going to watch that. But some of them just seem like... Like, last year was a really good year, I think. Even though I'm not really bothered about the Oscars, but like I feel like this is a contradiction, because I say I don't care, but then I get really angry.
But
then
you kind of have to do care. You kind of have to care.
Because it's like, if they, like, did movies that, like, really, 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 really deserved it, you know what I mean? Like, I think Lynn Ramsey should have been... I know a lot of people are saying this. Lynn Ramsey should have been nominated for You Were Never Really Here, which I don't think is, like, it's not an amazing movie, but I think she's a really good director and she deserves to be recognised for it. And I think Joaquin Phoenix is also snubbed for that as well, because he did such a good performance in it. That at least brought them, like, you, even if you don't like the movie, you can't deny that he did an incredible job in it. So I think a lot of people are upset about that. I was upset that Mandy didn't qualify for it, because I know there's, like, certain things it has to do to qualify to be nominated. So I think it has to run for at least 2 weeks in an LA screen, which is, like, really specific.
Yeah,
I think that might be, I've seen that somewhere, I think that's what it is. But I don't think it qualified for it, so that's really sad, because I think it should have been nominated for, like, best score.
Mm-hmm.
I think it had a great score on it. And it was a really interesting movie. But of course, I know a lot of people were upset about Hereditary not being nominated.
Why? Where are all these people coming from that like this film? I swear no one liked this film, and now everyone likes this film.
I feel like the only person who doesn't like it. I feel a bit left.
Same.
I feel like a black sheep.
Us and, like, the 20 people who were in the same cinema screen as us.
Yeah.
It's like, where have all these people come out who are like, oh, I actually really like Hereditary? No, you fucking don't. Where the fuck have you come from? Who likes this crap film?
No, don't get me wrong. I think it has, like, good cinematography. I think it has good elements to it, but I don't think it's... I think everyone wanted Toni Collette to be nominated for her performance. I think she did pretty good in it, but I don't know if...
I think the boy should have been nominated, if anything.
Alex Wolff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was good.
I don't know.
Like, the acting was good, but it's just not a good film, man. I'm not going to get into it, because I'm getting annoyed now.
Yeah.
But there's a fucking shit. Terrible film.
Yeah.
But no, it's the Black Panther... Because if you look at the nominations, like... It's not like it's completely white films and then Black Panther.
Mm.
It's actually got some diverse...
Yeah, you know, it's pretty
inclusive
good.
Films. I mean, Black KK Klansman, you know, which has a black man character and directed by Spike Lee, a black man.
Yeah.
I mean, so just kind of to have Black Panther in there, it feels a bit like it's doing it to slap you in the face a little bit, to take away.
Yeah.
It takes away from everything that it gave to people and for everything it stood for, I feel like.
Because I haven't seen it, but from what I've heard from people is that, you know, it's a decent movie, but I think the politics around it would just made it seem better than it was.
Yeah.
Like everyone wanted to like it more because of the politics around it, and I think that's really, that's almost kind of patronizing the
yes
film.
exactly.
I don't know, like, maybe it's just me, but
and it's just being like, oh, we
I find that a bit weird.
Everyone wanted it nominated, so it's nominated, that's why it's been nominated, because you wanted it nominated.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, Oscar's so condescending.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
I think it was also the movie that was the reason behind the they were to do the popular film category, didn't they? And then everyone got really mad about it. I've seen everyone saying, oh, they should do like a stunt work category, which I absolutely agree with, because they don't get, like, the stunt people don't get enough credit at all.
They
put their lives in danger to make these films, so it's like, you know, I think they deserve something. That would be a really cool idea. Something like that is like way better. Because popular movies, they get recognized, you know, they're popular movies, that's the whole thing, like, you know. I know there were a lot of films that people were upset didn't get nominated this year, so yeah, I don't know, it's really disappointing.
It is quite.
Yeah.
But it's also just like, if you take away the politics and you are just kind of saying it's been nominated because it is a good film, which it wasn't nominated because it's a good film, but if you're just going to say stand there and say that it's been nominated for a good film, then Infinity War should have been in there. Wonder Woman should have been in there.
Yeah, I think Infinity
Logan War should have been in there.
Did get nominated for, I think it was Best Visual Effects or something, but I think that would be more.
I think Black Panther got nominated for Best Visual Effects as well.
I think it was something like that, but I think.
And everyone was like, what?
Yeah, I think Infinity War was one of the best superhero movies of last year. So I think that could have been, like, at least
it's like
more.
Where does the line end?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
If you include this, you've got to include that, and you've got to include that, and you've got to include that, so why haven't you included those?
But apparently, that, like, you can have up to 10 nominations for Best Picture, and they only used 8. Mm-hmm. So that seems like a weird thing, because there were some really great movies out last year.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. So I think last year was a really good year for movies, and it just felt like a lot of them just got overlooked this year. So I don't know. Yeah, but it'll be interesting to see who wins them. I thought it was weird that Bohemian Rhapsody got nominated for Best Picture, because it was like, especially with the controversy surrounding it now, with Bryan Singer, and all the allegations and everything as well. But, like, I think Rami Malek deserved to be nominated for Best Actor for that.
Yeah.
But also, I don't think it was such a good movie that you couldn't, like, because it was, like, directed by two different people. I think Singer got fired at one point or something. It's just, I don't know, it was a good movie, but I don't think it was, like, worthy of being recognized.
Half of them
are,
really.
Yeah, I don't know. So yeah, and then also wanted to mention in the outro, I did make a website for us now. It's heywe'retalkinghere.home.blog, because I don't, I could be bothered to pay for like our own website name. So it's just a WordPress blog. We've made a couple of posts on there. We're going to post when we upload a new episode, and we're also going to do some review stuff. Sometimes we're a bit more like understandable when we write stuff, so
you go into a bit more detail. Sometimes.
Yeah, so I think you want to do one. Was it Resident Evil you want to do one?
Yeah, I'll probably do one on that.
So you'll do more of a full review on that, probably once you've played more of it as well.
Yeah.
So I might do some like articles and shit if I have time, because I do review on Snakebite Reviews as well, so check that out. But also, yeah, if I can make time for it, I'd like to do something like that. And we also have our Instagram, which I always forget to mention, but we mentioned it last time. So yeah, it's Hey We're Talking Here. I think it's underscores between the words or something. So that's it, I think.
It is.
I think that's all I wanted to say.
We're done.
Yep, all right. See
you. See you later.
We're done. Bye, bitches.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.